Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles. Rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
In every great dynasty, in every great person, we must admit there's an end. There comes a time we must admit that the run is over. We are coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, National Mortgage Lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. It's the Ken Carmen Show on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Just like Abe Vigoda, there's going to come a time where they're really dead, where it's not just a hoax, where it's not just, hey, did you read this? No, they're still alive. You see this every time you get on social media, you see Twitter, you see what's trending, and you see a name, and it's old, and you go, oh my God, Bob Barker's birthday was what, last week? And it said Bob Barker, and I went, oh no, and I clicked, and hey, it's happy 95th birthday, Bob. Ooh! Price is still right, Bob. Thank God. But there comes a time where it's over. When the bell finally tolls midnight. And so many people are quick to judge. So many quick people are quick to kill. So many people are quick to put away the New England Patriots. It's week after week, year after year. This went down in week three a few years ago, if you remember. Jimmy Garoppolo's coming out party, still in a beating against the Kansas City Chiefs. It was, well, gosh, Tom is starting to look a little long in the tooth. Boy, they're starting to look like hell, aren't they, the New England Patriots? Maybe it's starting to be that time. Maybe it's time for Jimmy Garoppolo to take over. Maybe it's time for Tom Terrific to hang him up. Maybe it's over and the Patriots still find a way to get to the Super Bowl and win it. There comes a time, though, where that type of thinking, that type of feeling where you become anti the establishment of wanting something to die, to put it on there every single time. There comes a time where you have to face facts and understand that this could very well be the end. And for Tom Brady, I saw something that was uncharacteristic today. I saw him launching air balls into nowhere. You've seen uncharacteristically poor play and uncharacteristically poor decisions, to the point where Jim Nantz and Tony Romo were nearly willing him to make some plays. Joe Cool, Tom Cool. And then for whatever reason, they do four verts four times, continuing to mount penalties. What, 14 penalties for over 100 yards today? Just uncharacteristic stuff for the New England Patriots. And while it looks as if to some people, I think it's a wish, while it looks as if to some people that they're gone, while it looks as if they could finally being put in the dirt and you can put it on top of them and bury the New England Patriots in this era where if you really break this down from 2001 to 2018, if a child was born as Tom Brady started to win his first Super Bowl, they are graduating high school. He has been the gold standard in the NFL as a quarterback, and in turn the Patriots have been the gold standard in terms of being a professional organization. Yes, they have had their questions. They've had their certain dalliances that have come with being such a hardcore winning football team, such a team that holds itself to a high standard. Deflate gate, bottle gate, spy gate. Well, wait, I threw a different gate in there. But either way, you've had your different controversies. But as we get ready for the 2018 playoffs, I don't think that they're dead yet. I just can't bury them yet. There's always that Patriot magic that comes down. Maybe it is Bill Belichick. Maybe it was a pact with the devil after he was fired by the Cleveland Browns, after he was fired by the Baltimore football team. And then after he decided that he wasn't going to go coach the Jets, maybe it was some sort of a deal with Lucifer that he decided to make. Maybe it is just the land of white wide receivers and they frolic to and fro. And when you think they're down, they find a way to be a gamer and a student of the game and a gym rat and surprisingly sneaky athletes. Maybe it's that. But I can't just put the Patriots away. However, when I bring them up around other teams, and it pains me to say this the most, when I look at the teams that could possibly be in the playoffs of the 2018 season, Kansas City, Houston, the Patriots themselves who fall to the 3 seed, Pittsburgh who were fighting for their playoff lives, more on them coming in a second, the Chargers who are playing defense again, the grand old man Philip Rivers in his own right, making a trip back to the playoffs after we left the Chargers for dead just a couple of years ago, Anthony Lynn getting things in the right direction, and so is Philip Rivers. And then there's Baltimore and Indianapolis still duking it out for that 6 seed. New England, we've started to look at them and put them in a spot where you always have to, either that you want them to die so badly you won't look at realism, or you have to put them in there as a great shot to get back to a Super Bowl just because it's the Patriots, because you've bet against them so many times and lost. But what I saw again today, sloppy on the offensive line, and you can say, and I know that I read the Nesson article that said that, well, Tom was talking to the refs and they were calling it tight. They were calling the holding penalties tight on purpose. Which was a weird week 15. Did a lot of people notice some penalties last night and then today and today's games, maybe even tonight by what we're looking at with the Philadelphia Eagles and the LA Rams? I'm not necessarily sure about that. But over time, New England was sloppy, at times ugly. Tom Brady at times a little bit ugly, a little bit just off the mark in certain aspects today. That terrible, terrible interception right near the 5-yard line with Joe Hayden earlier in that game. They aren't dead, but I think we're falling out of taking them truly seriously. And if we're falling out of the part of taking them truly seriously, I'm not going to be a hot take artist and say that this could be the end of Tom Brady in the NFL. I'm not trying to do that. Don't run wild. Don't get mad at me. Don't start screaming at me. Part of it is realism here. He is over 40 years old. He's played in a boatload of games. He's thrown a boatload of passes. Some of this is, at some point, you got to be ready to call it a career. But I can't say that this is Tom Brady's final season just yet. I just asked the question, can you take New England seriously this postseason? Let that permeate. Because I'm not sure if you can. I don't believe you can. Up and down defensive play, questionable moves throughout the front office and throughout the offseason, letting guys go. Maybe the Patriot way has finally caught up to them. Because when you do the Patriot way for so often, you can make strong cuts. You can let go of guys who are either fan favorites, or you can let go of guys that are a little bit longer in the tooth, or you can let go of guys just a little bit too soon to save a couple of extra bucks on the overall cap space just in case you need it. You can do that when you have the Patriot way, quote unquote, which is having Tom Brady. You can do that. But if Tom Brady isn't being the Tom Brady that we've known, that is magical, that is the most legendary, most prolific quarterback in NFL history, arguably, but really is that guy. If he's not him, then what is the Patriot way? And if you're not going to be taken seriously in this postseason, if I can't hold the candle to Kansas City and Houston and to maybe Pittsburgh and to the Chargers, more on the Steelers coming up in a second, and maybe the Ravens and maybe the Indianapolis Colts, what's the point? And then when I look over to the NFC, and there's the Saints and Drew Brees, still kicking at 40 years old, an offense that can be high-powered, a defense that can get the job done, a terrific football team. In good weather, sometimes in bad weather, they've been kicking the hell out of everybody. The Rams are still 11-2, and the story of the year, Ryan Pace and the Chicago Bears, where I love Ryan Pace so much because he gets it. He understands that there's no timetable to success. There's no given time where you get a 3, 4, 5-year plan. You must be in the NFL and then make strong moves to give your team a chance. Trade up for a quarterback, damn the torpedoes if he ain't the guy, make him the guy. Get into the next year, if there's an opportunity to go out there and bring in one of the premier pass rushers in the league, go ahead, take that shortcut, give up the picks because they won't mean a damn to you if they're left on the shelf and you can't use them because you're out on your ass as a general manager because you thought you had a four-year plan. Ryan Pace gets it. And now they're coached by a younger football coach who likes to have fun, a good offensive guy who's able to get the job done, a team that now sits at 10-4, the winners of the NFC North, over Green Bay, who certainly had their problems, and over Minnesota, where the pressure has mounted so much on either one of those two teams that they weren't able to get over the hump, that they cracked. And finally, one of the other two in that division, the Lions and now the Bears, because you can't take the Lions seriously, the Bears break through, they have fun, they're exciting, they play good defense, they do enough on offense. Mitchell Trubisky has a couple of bugaboos of games understood, but is able to get the job done, and they're one of the darlings of the league now. And all around the league, I look at these teams where there's guys who continue to be on their P's and Q's and continue to be exceedingly wonderful like Drew Brees. But the rest of these teams, the Rams, so young, so fresh, the Bears the same way, the Cowboys, eh. Russell Wilson, we're looking to see how great of an elite quarterback he is, where even though that they sucked today and they committed a boatload of penalties, he's able to keep their heads above water. Minnesota's holding on for dear life. Kansas City with a 60-year-old coach who's having a new breath of fresh life and is showing that he can be one of the most innovative offensive minds out there if they can just get over the hump of the postseason. Houston, one of the most complete teams that you're going to find this year. The Chargers the same way. Baltimore responding to their embattled head coach. And now Lamar Jackson changing the way that we look at quarterbacks in this league. And then you see New England, the old guard. The conversations we're about to have about New England are the same conversations that we had with our fathers at the dinner table and at the breakfast table about politics. If you're a little bit older, you might remember it. Back in the 60s, you remember some of the arguments that you had with dear old dad back then, and now you remembered some of the arguments that you had with son, and you might be the sons of those sons and remembering the arguments you have with the kids now. Because there is something, as much as I want to say that the Patriots don't have that shot, there is something comforting about the Patriots. I told you about a month and a half ago, I watched New England beat Kansas City, and it made me feel so good. Gosh, it was about 2 months now. It made me feel so good because it makes you feel like there's something right in the world. That the world isn't changing too quickly, that just for that moment, you feel that you've caught up, that everything is there. You spend all this time watching football, seeing the pro-style sets, the classic drop-back, the statuesque type of play of Tom Brady left and right and short and long and letting it just go bombs away with strong enough defense and a man who is so good he can cut up a defense basically on a whim. Against the RPO, against the shotgun 90% of the time, against the spread them out past the numbers, the yo-yo type of offense, that college trash that Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City brings in. A couple of months ago, it made me feel like all was right with the world again, that I'm still hip, that I'm still cool, that I don't need to go put on the Aramarnox and brag about my grass anymore, that I'm still with it. That I still know about the latest music, that I still know about the latest trends. And then you have a game like today. Rooting for Tom Brady. Getting over the hump because I want what's right to me. But that's not the way anymore. Times change, and so does the NFL. And while New England makes the postseason this year, I don't think I take them seriously. Pittsburgh on their own right, I don't know if I can either. Maybe the most frustrating team you'll find in the 2018 season. They're basically, with the infighting, with Ben Roethlisberger blaming his targets, with Antonio Brown, who seems to be fun-loving except when they lose, and he just wants to have a good time, but no one wants to let him have a good time, with Le'Veon Bell, who sat out through the entire season, continues to take little pot shots with how they try to work in different running backs, while there's fights with about Keith Butler and whether or not he should still be there as the defensive coordinator. And every single week, we think we get closer and closer and closer to Mike Tomlin possibly getting fired, where he's been about this close to his pills right next to the bandsaw. They've got to be the most frustrating team in the league. And they still go back to their talent. They still go back to just the talent that they have. But I watch Kansas City, they're together. Houston, J.J. Watt, the entire just feeling of the way that they can bring themselves together to be inspiring to one another. It's like old school Little League football. The Chargers doing it again for their own entire thing, for what they want to do with Phillip Rivers. Baltimore playing with John Harbaugh, just like we said. Indianapolis, you got Andrew Luck back. You got a new head coach. You got a new feeling. They're feeling wonderful about the rest of this year and then their chances for the future. But these two teams that played tonight was a big game. But I've been giving the gears to the New England Patriots now for the last 15 minutes. But when I look at both of these teams, one team might have too many problems and might be a little bit over the hill. And when they've put everything on Tom Brady and you can't get anything out of anybody else to help him, it might be too much, too late on his shoulders. And the other one, when the chips are down, it ain't my fault. No one wants to be a leader. No one wants to take any sort of responsibility. Tonight, or I should say this afternoon, was a fantastic game with tons of storylines. But do I take either one of them very seriously in January? I can't say I do. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is the Ken Carmen Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Barry Wilner joins us in just about 20 minutes. Kevin McGuire at 11:35, 11:40 p.m. Eastern, NBC Sports college football writer. Aditi Kinkabwala, NFL Network at 11 p.m. Eastern. We either had her or Chris Price, but to the victor go the spoils. So we'll talk Steelers with Aditi Kinkabwala coming up at 11 p.m. Eastern. 855-212-4CBS. I watch both these teams tonight, and I'm thinking, man, I know that there seems to be a curse on Andy Reid and there seems to be a curse on the Kansas City Chiefs. And people will throw that in my face. You watch the way Kansas City plays. You watch the way Houston plays. You see the way that the Chargers have been playing over the last few weeks and really their entire season. Baltimore's playing with a lot of chutzpah. Now they got something different with Lamar Jackson. Indianapolis is coming in like a house of fire. New England's a better football team than a lot of these teams. Pittsburgh's a better team than a lot of these teams. But for different reasons, one where it seems to be too much now on Tom Brady, and the other one where if anything goes wrong, can I trust you guys to come out of the foxhole? I don't know if I trust either one to win a Super Bowl. I don't believe either one win the Super Bowl this year. We're keeping Super Bowl hopes alive with both of these quarterbacks and both of these teams. Nah, because I just went through the AFC and I mentioned three teams that could get him. 855-212-4CBS. Let me get to Jay in Alaska. Jay, you're next up on CBS Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, let me say, Ken, I want to be the first guy in line with my nation, that is Raider Nation, to pile a giant shovel full of Tuck Rule on Tom Brady's dead face. Nothing would make me happier than to see that loser, that cheater, get to the AFC Championship game, play in a blizzard, get strip sacked, get his face planted in the ground, and watch the other team dance on his grave and win the AFC and go to the Super Bowl and watch him walk off the field dejected, loser, and never, ever play again. I hate Tom Brady. They should have never won that Super Bowl. He is a cheater starting with the Tuck Rule. Can't stand the guy. I'm out.
Thank you very much, Jay. He didn't cheat in the Tuck Rule, did he? Like, that was the refs, right? Deflategate's Deflategate and Spygate's Spygate. I dig all that. But the Tuck rule, that was the refs, wasn't it, Hickey?
Yes, that was all in the refs. Tom Brady didn't do much, but...
Well, the refs created a monster. They created a supervillain like Tom Brady.
That's what Jay's alluding to, I guess.
So I'm going to put Jay down to say that I think what I'm getting there is that he thinks that the Patriots are dead. I'm not sure. Matt, online, you're next up on CBS Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hi, Ken.
Hi, Matt. Go ahead, buddy.
Well, let me put down the gallon of bleach I've been drinking the last few hours after watching the Patriots today. So
you got to be calling poison control instead of me, brother, but continue. Go ahead.
All right. Unlike Jay in Alaska, I'm actually going to talk like a person with a brain here, and I'm going to tell it to you straight up about the Patriots. What you're seeing in front of your eyes, Ken, is simply put, a team that has lost their way, period. They have lost their way, and the guy that is directly responsible for where the Patriots are right now is none other than Robert Kraft. And the reason Robert Kraft is the reason for the mess that they're in right now is when he told Belichick, you can't keep Jimmy Garoppolo, Brady stays, and empower Brady. Since then, it has been a bleep storm and a half with this team. And now you got people that are pointing fingers at each other. They have lost their way. And very simply put, Ken, after this season, somebody's handing the divorce papers to somebody, signing it, and saying, goodbye and good riddance. I'm out.
Matt, I wish I could disagree with you, but here we are. I wish, but it's true. For Tom Brady, Robert Kraft's a businessman and knows that Tom Brady's the golden goose. And he's not going to let go of Tom Brady ever. Bob Kraft has been a great, great owner for the New England Patriots. But he fell in love too much with Tom Brady. And what Matt just said is the absolute truth of it. When you got rid of Jimmy Garoppolo, and I know Jimmy Garoppolo's coming off a rehab, and we don't know how great Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be for the future. It looks like Kyle Shanahan's a hell of a coach out in San Francisco. Not that anybody needed any real convincing, but it still looks like Kyle Shanahan's a hell of a coach out there with what he's doing with Mullins. But when they decided to make that trade, when Robert Kraft took Tom Brady's side as the owner and Bill Belichick walked down the hallway and gave Jimmy Garoppolo away, because that's what he did. He gave away Jimmy Garoppolo. The Cleveland Browns would have been willing to give up a ton more, and I know that for a fact. When he was mad and he just got rid of him because he just didn't want to see him again because of what was going on, that ended this dynasty. That was the beginning of the end here. And for what Matt says, it always is going to end with the owner. Everything starts and finishes with an owner in professional sports with the way things go. And for Robert Kraft to do what he did to make that decision on Tom Brady, he's a good businessman and he knows that things run through Tom Brady. It's going to go through the player, not the coach. But when you made that decision, it's no longer the Patriot way. It's the Brady way. And the Brady way could very well be coming to an end because what you watched today was desperation. I don't think the Steelers can really count on each other either. But what I saw today was a desperate man with a ton on his shoulders trying to bring his team back when things weren't going well, when they were committing penalties, when they just weren't focused after a tremendously terrible fluke loss down in Miami. A chance to reassert your dominance, to put yourself right there at the top, and kill the spirit of the Pittsburgh Steelers, mind you, who had lost three in a row, including to the Oakland Raiders. I don't care about x-ray machines. I don't care about slippery fields. The Raiders shouldn't have had any sort of a breath in that football game. And you go there and you do that offensively against Pittsburgh, I'll give Pittsburgh their credit. They came to try to live, to try to get back on track. They played desperate football. They won today. I'll give them credit. I don't take them seriously for a Super Bowl either, but I'll give them credit for that. But for New England to lay the egg that they did on the offensive side and now moving forward for it, this is maybe the beginning of something really sinister and ugly on the inside. 20 years from now, you try to remember the best because they won 5 Super Bowls together. But from what Matt says, when that decision was made last year, that's the end of it all. 855-212-4CBS. Coming up next, Barry Wilner will join us. Associated Press, we'll talk football with him.
This is the Ken Carmen Show on CBS Sports Radio.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. It's CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, and you know what? It's brought to you by GEICO. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Aditi Kinkabwala, NFL Network at 11, 3 up, 3 down at 11:20. Folks, I feel bad for Vance Joseph. I'll tell you why at 11:20. Also, Kevin McGuire, NBC Sports College Football Writer. He'll join us at 11:35, 11:40 p.m. Eastern. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. If you're on hold, we'll try to get to you as soon as we can. But we have a very special guest on hold right now, and let's bring him in. Barry Wilner joins us, Associated Press Football Writer. Barry, thanks for joining us tonight.
Hey, it's my pleasure. I'm just sitting here watching this crazy Eagles-Rams game, and it's been a fun day, I must say.
What is going on in L.A.? Why is it just something magical about Nick Foles where he comes in late in the season and all of a sudden the football team starts to perform?
I think part of it is that without question, the Eagles have so much gumption. They have so much inner fortitude. And they learned that last year when Carson Wentz went out and they went and won the Super Bowl with Foles. So they have tremendous confidence in him. But to me, it's just the coaching staff is a really strong coaching staff that gets these guys to play all the time. They lose some assistant coaches. It really hasn't had a big effect. They play hard all the time, and they tend to usually play pretty smart. So even with all these injuries, and my God, their secondary, you and I could probably start in the secondary. It's still on defense. They're still putting up a great effort against the Rams, and they did so last week against the Cowboys.
You know, it's odd because that was going to be my next question. It sounds like you just answered it because I was wondering, and maybe you'll fight against this narrative a little bit, that Nick Foles makes the rest of the team mind their P's and Q's because maybe he's not as naturally talented as what they get out of Carson Wentz, and so maybe it causes them to play more focused football. From what you're telling me, that's not true.
No, I think they play focused all the time. I do think, though, that when all of these guys went out, not just Wentz, but so many of these guys went out. The guys behind them who haven't really had much of a chance to play are so well coached and they're able to step in and play pretty well. Now, obviously, this is not nearly the team it was last year, and they probably won't make the playoffs. But just watching them and the heart that they show in these games, I think it's something that all Philadelphia fans should be really proud of.
Barry Wilner joining us, Associated Press. So what do we do with Carson Wentz now in this situation? Because there's a lot of folks saying, well, he's prone to injury. And I'm going, okay, yeah, what else are they supposed to do here? So what is the future with the Philadelphia Eagles and Carson Wentz? Can you explain it to me any better?
He's the quarterback of the future. I think they'll sit him out the rest of the way, whether that means actually getting in the playoffs or just two more games. I think they will keep Nick Foles. I think the insurance policy for him is very much worth it. I think Foles is certainly willing to accept that. So I wouldn't worry too much about Carson Wentz's job. I would worry a little bit about the fact that he had two major injuries. But from what everyone has told us, this injury is one he'll be able to recover from and be back next season.
Barry Wilner joining us from the Associated Press. So you'd look up and down the NFC. The Dallas Cowboys took a terrible loss earlier today. So did the Seattle Seahawks. At least that one was in overtime. Minnesota, a little bit back on track after they make that change with the offensive coordinator. From top on down, I know it's Saints, Rams, Bears, Cowboys, Seahawks, Vikings. Who's the most dangerous out of this group in the NFC?
If you had asked me this on Friday, I would have said the Seahawks. And I may still say it after the next two games, but They really laid an egg today. They were not prepared. They were very flat against San Francisco. But to me, they may be the team that plays the type of playoff football you need, and more so than a lot of the others. The Saints are the most talented team, and they might be the most balanced when you consider the teams that have great offenses. They may have the best defense in the NFC. But I still think that Seattle and Chicago with those defenses, and maybe Dallas, are going to be tough outs in the playoffs.
Barry Wilner joining us on the show. So in Minnesota, they make that change where John DeFilippo just not on the same page with what was going on with Mike Zimmer. Do you think that maybe he got caught up in the head coaching candidacy?
I would hope not. It's possible, but I would definitely hope that that wouldn't be the case because that would hurt him down the line. to know that he could be distracted like that. So I would, you know, hope that wasn't true.
The reason I ask you, Barry, is because, you know, we're seeing so much different in the NFL than we have over the past even 3 years. We're seeing a lot more shotgun. We're seeing a lot more spread. We're seeing a lot more going to the line. A little bit more like a college atmosphere, and it's fun for the fans. But do you think, and again, Mike Zimmer's going, we're not running the ball. We're still not running the ball. And then finally they fire him. And it brings in the question going, you know, a lot of owners want to see that. Some GMs might want to see that, where you're spreading it out a little bit. And do you, maybe he just kind of got caught up in the whole feeling of it without actually looking at the personnel that he had and actually working with the personnel that fit more of a pro style, run the ball more, control the ball, control the clock type of system.
Yeah, but that would be hard to argue considering he has Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs and Kyle Rudolph. So he does have the receivers who can run that type of an offense. So I just think that part of the problem there was a little bit of panic, actually. And I think most of the problem there is that people have overrated how good the Vikings are. And I really think they are kind of a 500 team this year.
Ah, I love it. Barry Wilner joining us on the show. So tell me about the AFC. Who's the most dangerous over there?
They're probably the Chargers because they're the most balanced. I really am down on the Chiefs right now. I would not be shocked if the Chiefs lose in Seattle next week and wind up as a wild card. And we saw it today. The Patriots have trouble on the road. They're always going to be the most dangerous team until they get knocked out. But if they play you in Foxborough, they don't lose. They play elsewhere. They're very vulnerable. I'm not impressed by the Steelers. And I think that I actually like what I've seen from the Texans most of the season, not the last 2 weeks so much. But I think the Chargers really are the team that is most balanced in the AFC. And the question there is, they've never really won big. They never won the really big games. They've done it this year in the regular season. Can they do it in the playoffs?
For Baltimore, and the question with Joe Flacco, is there a possibility, and we heard a little bit about this morning, is there a possibility with a trade at the end of the year? Would you be quick to trade him, or would you still see what's going on in 2019, even with Lamar Jackson and some of the success that he's having?
I think they're going to be committed to Lamar Jackson as the quarterback of the future, and he'll be the starter next year. Now, to keep Flacco with the kind of contract he has, when you're not paying Lamar Jackson a crazy amount, is doable. But you have to see what will be out there in the market if you try to trade him. I think they'd be interested in him. I think there's some coaches out there who would like to have a veteran quarterback on their team to help with the process, I guess you might say, of a younger quarterback. And that's what John Harbaugh has. But Flacco wants to start. So I think there are places he could start.
How good would he look in a Giants jersey?
Yeah. I don't see that. I still think Eli Manning has another year or two there. You protect him, he plays well. You don't protect him, or you stop Saquon Barkley in the run game, the Giants are always going to struggle.
So they aren't going after a quarterback this offseason? They'll continue to do the Eli Manning thing?
No, I do think. I think they probably will draft a quarterback. They're going to have a nice, you know, top 10, top 12 pick, and I think they will draft a quarterback. But I think Manning will be the starter certainly next year. And they'll develop somebody. Neither of the backups they have right now is the guy. But I don't see Joe Flacco being in New York, no.
Well, so when do you think that they – not? This is interesting here. Barry Wilner joining us on the show. When do you think they take a guy then? If the Giants are going to take a guy, when do they take him?
I think they may take him in the first round in this upcoming draft.
Okay.
They've got the two guys in Barkley and in Beckham. You know, Beckham signed long-term. Mm-hmm. They've got a very good second receiver in Shepard. They need to fix that offensive line, but I think they may do that more through free agency than anything else. And I think that this will be the year they'll take a quarterback, whether it's in the first round or second round. I think that will be where they'll head.
So where do you think that Joe Flacco could end up? Just take a guess.
There's a lot of things. First of all, I have a feeling, and I have nothing to substantiate this. This is just a feeling. That John Gruden is not a Derek Carr fan. So I could see Flacco maybe winding up out there. That's one place. I could see him wind up in Jacksonville, absolutely wind up in Jacksonville, which wants to build a type of running attack with a quarterback who can complement it, and that would suit him pretty well. So that's another possible landing spot for him.
Barry, I totally agree about the Gruden thing, by the way. I know no rumors or no sources or anything, but going on the feeling, I think you're 100% right. As much as I disagree with John Gruden on the whole thing, I totally get what you're saying. Barry, thank you very much for the time, my friend. We'll run you down again soon.
You bet.
Barry Wonner, Associated Press football writer. Love that stuff about Gruden. About the Giants, that startled the hell out of me there for a second, Hickey. I think Hickey still might be talking to him on the phone. If you're there, go on the mic there, Hickey.
Hey, Ken.
If they do that thing with Eli Manning again, I'm going to lose it.
I agree. I thought they should have moved on this year.
Because at first when he said it, I'm going, oh my God, I'm going to get in an argument with this guest. I'm going to get, like, for that moment, because I'm going, this is pretty interesting. And he goes, no, first round or so. I go, okay, because the days of this Davis Webb stuff, Kyle LaLetta stuff, and I don't give a damn about the Giants. I don't really care about them. I care about Saquon Barkley not turning into the next Barry Sanders. That's what I care about. Because I'm watching Saquon Barkley put up all these numbers, and I'm going, great, they're all hollow. They're all wonderful. These are great numbers. Saquon Barkley's amazing. And he's on his way to being this generation's Barry Sanders. Eli, if you give him a little bit of time, yeah, he can still move the ball a little bit efficiently for you. But you're going to go into another season with Eli Manning? Take a quarterback. For the love of God, find a quarterback. And I'm just wondering if they're on the same trajectory as where some of the other teams have been. And when it comes to Joe Flacco, with some of the rumors that have been reported out there, I would see definitely Jacksonville being one of those places, just like what Barry said about that. I'm glad I could come to some sort of an agreement with Barry on that. But I could see Jacksonville, like with what Barry just said. I could certainly see John Elway taking another swing. I know that he's on the hook for $18 million with Case Keenum. So maybe that would go away from him, but there's going to be suitors out there. John Gruden in Oakland, I think that's a possibility. There will be suitors for a great big 6'6 quarterback who's still usable for a football team like that. 855-212-4CBS. I got to get to Bob in Maine real quick. I said I'd go to him. Bob, you're next up on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, I'm wondering why nobody's talking about Brady and Belichick the way they've changed. Because the way I see it is I listen to these news conferences all the time. And I hear, oh, well, we didn't play good enough, or we need to play better and stuff. Brady doesn't become Brady acting that way or talking that way. Brady is the best quarterback of all time. He did that because he was a sixth-round draft pick, and every time he went to practice, he said, you know what, somebody's going to take my job, or I don't even know if I'm going to make the team. And that's how he became the greatest.
Oh, Bob, I know you're mad, and I know you're venting, and I know you're really, really mad. But has he ever been, God, I wish I had more time now, but let me do this. Has he ever been really demonstrative in post-game press conference, the same thing with Belichick?
No, but he's been that way on the sidelines when he got mad, when things weren't going his way.
Did you DVR the game?
Eye of the tiger.
Did you DVR the game?
Eye of the tiger, and he said, you know what, I'm going to be the best in this team, and will follow me. And he was so mad because Goodell made him so he couldn't play. And then he came back and he said, you know what? I'm coming and hell's coming with me and I'm going to win and they're going to follow me. And
well,
he ain't got it no more.
If you DVR'd it, Bob, if you DVR'd it, there is a part of it. Thank you for the call. Right after the interception, he looked pretty pissed off after the whole Joe Hayden thing. But it was a terrible pick. It was a terrible throw. So maybe there is something to the desperation. I'm not a big sidelines guy. Oh, God, I'm so mad on the sidelines. Like, I don't really, whatever. Go out there and perform. And if you don't perform, we'll find someone else who performs. But, man, if he's desperate, there's more problems than just him being out on the sidelines and being upset. Speaking of the other side of it, Pittsburgh, they took care of that business. We'll talk to Aditi Kinkabwala, NFL Network, next. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles. Rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Santa's not the only one delivering joy this season. Unwrap a new home with help from your Las Vegas realtors. More than 15,000 members are ready to show you. There's no place like new home for the holidays.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.